Good morning.
Good morning.
Get my ducks in a row here before I get to going. I've got a few announcements that I want to make this morning. First is, actually it's three different things. The first one is for CR, Celebrate Recovery Ministry. We have something special this week. We do Celebrate Recovery Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. If you want a meal, you're more than welcome to come at 6:30 and get you some grub before the large group that we have. But we have a testimony from somebody near and dear to me and to OR as well. It's a video testimony of Mac and Mary, and it's an amazing testimony. So if you would like to come out and to be a part of that, to see what CR is all about, or to hear a really good testimony, you'll be blessed by it. So that's this Thursday at 7 o'clock, 6:30 for the meal. Also, we have our secret prayer sisters going on. And so there is, if you don't know what our secret prayer sisters is, it's a system that's developed to be able to have some of our ladies pray for other ladies in the church. And I believe it's an anonymous system. And so it's a really cool thing. If you want to know more about what in the world Nathan's talking about, you can see Avery, Terry Sue, or Janet for more questions concerning that. But you need to pick up a form on the ladies' table. I did not know that we had a ladies' table. Is there a men's table? Because I want to get to know the men's table if it's there. If not, I'm going to find some camo somewhere, and we're going to make a men's table. No, I'm kidding. See the ladies' table? It's across from the mailboxes back here, so good to know that that is the ladies' table. Now I know. Pick up a form back there, see them if you want to find out more about that. I would love for every one of our ladies in the church to be involved in this. Prayer is powerful. We believe in prayer. And so what a great way to be able to pray for someone else and receive prayer yourself. So please get involved there. Also, we have our Better Together shirts. You've seen some of us wearing these. We've had a lot of people say, can I get a t-shirt? So we are going to make another order for Better Together t-shirts. We're only charging $10 per shirt. So if you want one, there's a sign-up form on the information booth this morning. I believe it's there. Alan, are you in here? Is it there? Okay. So there's a form on the information booth. Sign your name, put your size down, and we'll make an order in the next few weeks for those shirts. So yeah, so we can all be better together and wear the same t-shirts together. So there you go. Fits well. I wanted to talk with you as we are continuing our series, Better Together. There are over 60 different metaphors given for the church in Scripture. It's an amazing thing. And so in our series, Better Together, we're looking at just a few of those. Last week, we started by looking at the picture that God presents of His church as a family. And so we learned that in God's family, I find my true identity. This week, this morning, we are going to learn that in God's temple, I'm supported by others. God's church is pictured as a temple. And like the strong structure of a building, we hold one another up. And what I love is so when you step into God's church, when you are covered by the blood of Jesus and you're added, you're not added to them as a member of the Leander Church of Christ when you're baptized into Jesus. You're a part of His forever family. You're a part of His temple. And so last week we had Sebastian who was baptized. What this means, Sebastian, for you is you are now a part of God's temple. You're not alone, dude. You're with us, and we're here to support you as you support us. It's a family now, and a part of that family, a part of this church family, is also a temple. So let's talk about what this means. Like a strong structure of a building, we hold each other up, we support each other, and that's what the whole book of Ephesians is about, in case you were wondering. And so Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 21, actually, I wasn't going to pull over there and read it, but I think we need some context. Ephesians chapter 2, and starting in verse 19. Because this was our scripture last week. Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. What's another word for God's household? Family. God's family. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. And in him, the whole building is joined together and it rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The church, a metaphor of the church that God uses is that the church is a temple meant to support one another. In a building, a disconnected frame has no support, it has no stability, and it's going to collapse if it's not connected to something else. And if you're not connected, there's going to be times in your life where you're going to collapse because you have no support and you have no stability. You weren't meant to go through life alone. You were created to be with others as you experience the highs and the lows of life, the joys and the darkest moments and everything in between. You were meant to experience that, yes, with the Lord, but that's not what I'm talking about this morning. You were meant to experience that with someone else on this earth. That's why God designed the church. That's what church is about. And he says, and when you're with that other person experiencing the highs or low, where two or three are gathered, what? I'm there. There I am. His point is you're not meant to do this alone. You need physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional support. And so whatever side of COVID you're on or debates you're on, put all of that aside for a second. No matter what you do to protect your family and to be safe or whatever decisions you make, you still need family and you need support. And so listen, a virus is a physical disease. It's something that you can see. You see the symptoms, you see the ramification, you see what happens. And by the way, sicknesses progress pretty quickly. Right? You follow me? This is yes. You with me? They progress quickly and you can see the effects of them. Spiritual well-being, emotional well-being, and mental well-being, it progresses more slowly, but it's just as devastating as any virus or any sickness. And so in the midst of the pandemic, in the midst of wherever we go from here, I mean, there's more strains coming, there's more things happening. We've been in COVID before. You can't forget, in the midst of it, we're better together. And so you've got to find a way, whatever that be, whether it's through online, whether it's through Zoom, whether it's through phone calls, whether it's through getting in service in person, whether it's I'm okay as long as I'm wearing a mask, if you need a vaccine, whatever decisions you make, make it, but understand, spiritual, mental and emotional can't be avoided just for the physical. I'm not saying that ones, that they're all very important. And if there is one that's more important than the others, it is spiritual. And so remember that as we continue to go through this, because folks, it doesn't look like COVID's going away. It's not going away. And so we've got to learn how to still apply this. The scriptures aren't changing. And what God's telling us is we're better together. And so we've got to be connected. And so we're trying to figure this thing out as ministers. We're trying to figure this thing out as elders. We're trying to figure this thing out as leaders. How can we help people be connected in the midst of social distancing? How do those two things work? And there's tension there between them. But the truth remains, we're better together. And so we got to figure out how to be connected. You need a relationship. You need people in your life. You need support. If you don't have connection and relationships that you can trust, no matter what's going on in your life, you will eventually crumble because you weren't meant to go through life by yourself. Don't isolate so much that you miss out on healthy relationships that can propel you in your physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional health. You follow me? This is very important. Let me explain it like this. How many of you ever played with Legos before? Right, let me see a show of hands. All right, so you played with Legos yourself or your kids. You know, you played it with your kids or you played it with your grandkids. I loved Legos growing up. I'm a Lego guy, all right? I was never good at Legos, but I enjoyed every minute of it, right? And we would build Batman stuff. That was always my favorite. Of course, now they have like Star Wars stuff and Jurassic Park stuff, and you got like anything you can imagine. You can build whole worlds of Legos. and it's pretty incredible the things that you can build. But what I used to have is I had a giant bucket of a bunch of disconnected Legos. You didn't buy the Jurassic Park, you know, thing and get some instructions to tell you how to put it together. I just got a container that had a bunch of different Legos in it, and they say, here you go, enjoy. And it's pretty cool because you can use your imagination and build stuff. If you were like me, you built terrible stuff, but you had fun doing it, right? It didn't matter what it looked like. But what I learned about Legos is this. Legos are pointless if they're not connected to something else. Legos are only purposeful when they're connected to something else. The only good that comes from a Lego that's disconnected is when you step on it. How many of you have stepped on a Lego? God bless you. And God bless you. Right? All of us who have stepped on Legos in the middle of the night understand that all Legos bring, they are a pile of plastic if they're not connected that can do some damage, but they sure aren't doing any good. Right? And the same is true with us. That's why we read in Scripture, and it's why I had Ray read our Scripture. It's been the same every week in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12. Listen to what it says. God says it, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, but a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. He's telling you something. We are better together. Relationships matter. Connections matter. And that's why we have church together. That's why worship services do matter. That's why connect groups matter. That's why we do the ministries we do. We have tables set up in the back. We've left them up for several weeks. We'll leave them up through this whole series because we want you to know the opportunities we provide at Leander Church for you to be connected, for you to find relationship. And that is more than in a service where you're all facing me. Although I love to talk. And I love when you love to listen to me. It makes me feel so good. We're not building very healthy relationships as we're all faced the same direction. Relationships happen when we face each other. And there are ministries that we provide to help us to face one another and face each other, right? And I'm so thankful for live stream that we have now. We've got the ability to do Zoom calls. Whatever we have to do, we're going to do it because we believe we're better together. Whatever you need, if you're not connected, I'm begging you, don't let this whole series go by and not tell somebody, I don't know how to get connected. If there's not something that we provide that fits you, that helps you to be connected, let us know. And we'll try to find something to help you be connected. This matters. This matters to us. This is a huge deal. I can't overstate the importance of you finding the relationships you need. And so if you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling isolated, if you're a member of our church and you've been watching online, you haven't been able to attend physically in our services, and you're lonely and you're isolated, reach out to us and let's have a conversation on how we can help you find a connection. Because we are better together. We're not better alone. Same with Legos, right? Now, this is a truth, by the way, that runs the entire length of the Bible. If I wanted to go and look up every illustration and every story and every scripture that talks about the fact that we're better together, we wouldn't leave today, I promise you that. We'd be here quite a long time, and I'm probably the only one that's okay with that, right? But let me share with you two of my favorite stories, and I chose these intentionally. I chose one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament because I wanted you to understand that this truth runs the entire length of the Bible, and there's a whole lot more stories in between these two, but here they are. Look at Exodus chapter 17, and I'm just going to read you the story straight through because I want you to hear this. Exodus chapter 17, starting in verse 8. Are you there yet? Here we go. Exodus 17, verse 8. The Amalekites came, and they attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, listen to this, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. And tomorrow, I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses Aaron and Hur. Wait a second. Moses had said, I'm going to go on top of the mountain. But then when he goes on top of the mountain, what happens? I'm bringing others with me. I'm not going alone. And so he goes to the top of the mountain with Aaron and Hur, went to the top of the hill, and as long as Moses held his hands up, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. Well, here's the problem. Moses' hands grew tired. And they took a stone and they put it under him and he sat on it. Because he's exhausted after standing here for hours holding his hands up to God. He had the staff in his hands, holding the staff up to God. And he gets tired. And so he sits on the rock. And Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and the other on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. And so Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. I mean, this is incredible. The power is in God, and I've got to find the Lord. I've got to reach for the Lord, and he will help me in my lows in life. He will help you in your sin. God is the answer in your addiction. Jesus is in the answer in your selfishness. Jesus is in the is the answer to your pain, to your pride, to the struggles that you face. He's the answer. That's where the power is. But you need someone who will stand there and hold your arm up at the elbows so that you won't grow tired as you call out for his help. And Moses realized that, and that's why he took Aaron and Hur with him to the top of the mountain. I love this story. We are better together. And notice the humility that Moses has to first admit that he didn't need to do this by himself. Moses understood, I wasn't created to do this alone. If Moses had been more like me in that moment, he would have tried to resist and prove to everybody else, oh, I don't need you. Look at Joshua down there. You need to go help them fight. Right? Like, they need more people. They're the ones really doing the work. I can take care of this. I've got this. I don't need you. And if Moses had been like me, that's what he would have done. I can hold the staff. You need to go down there and fight. But Moses, in humility, said, I'm better when we're together. And he chose to allow them to help him when he needed it most. He let his pride down, and he bought into the truth that there's power in connection. The other story is just, oh, it's so powerful. Luke chapter 5. In the New Testament, we see this same thing so many different times, but this is possibly my favorite story on the power of being together. Luke chapter 5, I'm starting in verse 17. And it says, one day, as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village in Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. I mean, people are coming from everywhere to hear Jesus. And it says, they were all sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. And some men, don't skip over that, some men, who? Some men. Came carrying a paralytic on a mat. And they tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. But when they couldn't find a way to do this because of the crowd, they gave up and they just said, I'm so sorry, it's just too much for us to bear. If you could walk, it would be better, but you're in too bad of a place. We got to leave you there. No. These people, when they couldn't find a way into the house because there were too many people, they get up on the roof, they pick this guy up and carry him onto the roof, a full-grown man onto the roof, on his mat, and they dig a hole. You think they thought they were going to have to dig a hole in a roof today? You think they brought a shovel with them? No, this is how I see it. They're just digging with their bare hands through the straw and through the stuff. I mean, they've probably got bloody fingers by the time they finally make this hole in this roof large enough for a person to fit in. And Jesus is standing down below, and he's teaching to people, and all of a sudden you start to see these little specks fall down in front of them, and everybody kind of starts to look up at the ceiling, and all of a sudden this one beam of light just shoots down from the sky, and they go, Something's going on. And then this hole is opened up, and this man is lowered down at the feet of Jesus on his mat, and he's lying there. And Jesus looks at this man, and he looks up at that hole, and he sees four heads sticking over saying, "Did he make it? Is he in front of Jesus? What's Jesus saying?" Don't you know these guys are anticipating what's about to happen? And listen to the scripture. When they couldn't find a way to do it because of the crowd, they go up on the roof, they lower him on his mat to through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. In verse 20, listen, when Jesus saw the paralytic man's faith. Look at it. When Jesus saw their faith, he's looking up at the guys who brought the man to Jesus' feet. He sees their faith and he says, "Friend," don't you like it? How did he title it? "Friend, your sins are forgiven you because of what your friends did for you." That's power right there, folks. There's power in connection. There's power in being together. We're better together, not alone. This man received the blessing, the healing, and the forgiveness of Jesus because of the friends that he had who were willing to carry him when he could not walk. Who are your friends that will carry you when you can't walk? Who are the ones that are willing to do anything to get you to the feet of Jesus when you hurt most? Who are the ones who will sit with you when you're in tears and heartache and pain? And they're not there to fix you. They're there because they love you. And they're there to support you. They know the power is not in and of themselves to fix you. They get that. They understand the power is at the feet of Jesus. And so they're not giving you a bunch of advice. They're not trying to give you answers because they understand, no, you don't need me. You need the Lord. And so they hold your hands up as you hold a staff and you call on the power of God to come into your painful situation. But those friends are on your side. They carry you on your mat and lower you not to their own feet, but to the feet of a Savior who can heal, who can restore, and who can save you from whatever you're going through. We are better together. Amen? That's good preaching right there. Proverbs 17 and verse 17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so what? One man sharpens another." We sharpen each other. As iron sharpens iron, we sharpen each other. I mean, scripture just says this all throughout. I could keep quoting more and more. We're better together. Along the California coastline, have you ever seen those? It's probably some of the largest organisms alive. The redwood trees. You ever heard of those? It's incredible. If you look up, I should have gotten a picture. I'm not good with PowerPoints. I didn't do it. I repent. I should have had a picture. You should have seen these things. If you haven't, you need to. I give you permission to pull out your phone as I'm talking. Don't quit listening to me because I'm going to keep talking. Look it up. Look at a picture of these things. They're incredible. They're huge. I mean, I wrote it down. The redwoods can get up to 300 feet high. A tree, 300 feet high. But this is what gets me. Some of them are 40 feet around. Okay, y'all are impressed. You need to look up the picture later. Promise me you will. It's incredible. If you see this, it will blow your mind. I mean, this is just, I would love to go see these things, right? It's going to be on my, it's on my bucket list now. Some of them have been around for more than 250 years. They're a magnificent sight. They're incredible. And the trees are so massive, those who study this say they get this big, listen, because they grow in groves and their roots are all intertwined. Hey, wow. Hey, let's give them a round of applause. That's what I'm talking about. They're huge. They're gigantic. Yeah, click on that. Well, that's just pine cone. Don't click on that. Never mind. Just stay right there. Stay right there. That's good. Don't move. They're huge. But they say that their root systems, if you were to look at them, they're all completely intertwined with each other. And so they're all soaking up this nutrients together, and they absorb this stuff together. And if they weren't intertwined, they would not be able to grow to that size. There's no way. The growth happens because they're intertwined. The growth happens because they're connected. You think it's any different with us? The growth happens when we're connected. The growth happens when we don't do this thing alone. Why do you think suicide rates are rising higher than ever in our nation right now? Why do you think depression rates are rising higher than at any other time in our nation right now? You think it's coincidence? We were already heading there before COVID. But you think, so if you look at the rates that teenagers are struggling, this is where your teens, listen, teens are struggling with suicidal thoughts. They're struggling with depression, and it's real. And by the way, if you're out there, and it's not just teenagers, if you're out there and you're feeling this, and you're feeling like you're alone, and you're feeling like you can't go on, and you're feeling miserable, let me tell you something you need to know right now. If you don't get anything else, hear me. You're not alone. You're not the only one who feels that way. And listen, there's hope for you. And his name is Jesus. And if you can't find him on your own, then get connected with people who will carry you to him. You don't have to do this thing alone. There's power when we're connected. We're better together. Do you believe it? Now, let me read you one other scripture here before we close. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2. Paul says, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, and being one in spirit and in purpose. There's power when we're connected. We are better together. And that's why Paul's pleading for us to be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. That's why Jesus, you remember the night before he goes to the cross, of all the things that Jesus could have prayed for, you know that you're dying tomorrow. If you knew that, what would be the prayer that you pray? Jesus' prayer was for us to be one as he and the Father are one. Jesus prayed that we would be together. Jesus prayed that you would be connected. Jesus prayed that you wouldn't hurt alone. Jesus prayed that you wouldn't be isolated. He prayed for you and I to be one as he and the Father are one. Because of all the things that mattered most to Jesus, it was that you would be connected to someone, not just anyone, but someone who would bring you to Jesus when you can't walk. That's what he prayed for. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Yes, we should all be like-minded. We should all be of one mind and one accord, and all of those things are true, but that doesn't mean that we should all look like robots, okay? As much as I like myself, I don't want you to look like me. I don't want you to think like me. It's a scary place, by the way. Right? I know I'm the best. But even as the best, I still don't want you to look like me. No, I'm kidding. That's not true at all. I repent of that. But listen, we shouldn't all be exactly the same. We shouldn't be a bunch of robots. If a football team is unified, it does not mean that everyone's playing the same position. It means they're all heading to the same goal line. If an orchestra is harmonious, it's not because we're all playing the same instrument. It's because we're all playing the same song. A choir is singing in great harmony. It's not because everybody's singing the same part, like on Love One Another. Beautiful song, but it's beautiful because we're adding our part to the same song. It's the goal that produces unity. We're heading in the same direction. Don't surround yourself with people who agree with you, is what I'm trying to tell you. If you're only going to surround yourself with people who feel the same way about COVID or about politics or about this or that, it's going to be a very boring place to be. You surround yourself with people based on the faith that they have in common with you. I'm preaching right now. Do you agree? I'm tired of the division that's going on in our nation. And folks, look at me. I'm tired of the division that's going on in churches. And the way it stops is when we understand that we're better together. And I'm not preaching to people who think like me, look like me, or talk like me. I'm preaching to people who have the same faith in the same God who unifies us. That's who I'm talking about. And so when you're struggling in your life, when you're alone and isolated, when the pain of life is setting in, when you're struggling mentally, emotionally, physically, or spiritually, my prayer is that you have some connections and some relationships, not who agree with you, but who support you. That's the answer to all of life's most difficult questions. Because the answer is in the Lord, and the way you find the Lord is you find others who know the Lord and you search Him out together. And so my request for you, by the way, Sebastian, look, you're baptized into this family. It's forever. And I'm not talking about, you're not baptized into Leander Church. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what happened last week. You were baptized into a forever family, a part of God's family, right? And now you're a part of a temple. And if you don't get this illustration of what that means, bro, you're going to miss out on the support of a family. What's so wonderful is in the moment where you dedicate your life to Jesus like you did last week, and like I hope somebody else is ready to take that step this morning, when we do that, yes, we're stepping into the wonderful blood of Jesus, but it's so much more than that. The gospel is more than just the fact that you're forgiven, which you are. The gospel is that you are now a part of a family that supports you. What's amazing is you've got a beautiful family, a physical family. But let me tell you, the family that you were baptized into, that you became a part of, is an even better family than your beautiful family that you're sitting with right now. Because it is a family that will last for all eternity. Folks, that's powerful. We're better together. Do you believe it? All right, I got it. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. I'm going to keep you here till the Baptists are going to beat us this morning. I'm just saying. Let me say it like this. Let me finish up. I do have to land this plane. Here's what I want from you. So all this stuff I've preached, it's true. All this stuff I've preached, it's good stuff. But here's the question. So what do I do with it? Because it doesn't matter if you hear a good sermon, but you don't know what to do with it. Here's what you do. Find a way to get connected. Find a way to have relationship. If you're not connected, if the only time that you see your church family is when you come to service on Sunday, then you're the one I'm talking to. Find a way to get connected, to find those relationships who will help you, because we're better together. Have you ever been to a construction project? You ever been to a construction zone? If you were to step outside of my neighborhood in Summerlin, they're extending that 183 toll road all the way to Highway 29. And there's all these things that are being brought in. I mean, there's just these pieces of pipe everywhere. There's just these piles of dirt that are coming in. There's just these different pieces of construction materials just scattered around everywhere. But what's amazing is I'm able to see every day as I pull out, those pieces begin to connect together. And while they're not impressive at all on their own, it's amazing to watch what happens as they're connected to each other. But have you ever walked into a building, maybe a construction site that's going on, and like you see all this new stuff that's added, but then there's maybe a board or a piece of pipe that's just kind of lying on the ground? And it's not, it may be in the building, but it's not a part of the building because it's not connected to anything. And I think that's what I'm trying to say this morning. You may be in the building, but if you're not connected through relationships, then while you may be in it, you aren't a part of it. Just because you've come to a Leander Church worship service doesn't mean that you've been connected to Leander Church. Just because you sign a sheet that says, I'm now a member, doesn't mean you're connected. Connection isn't something you sign. Connection isn't something you say, I'm now connected. No, it doesn't work that way. Not until you build those relationships like Inola and I have. right? She's someone who has come into our church. And if you don't know Miss Inola, you need to get to know her. I'm calling you out right now because I love you. And the relationship that we have is so special with each other. And that only happens through relationship. Jeremy, the relationship that we have right now, you're feeling it, right? That's what connection looks like. And if you guys don't understand, if you can't look at somebody like I am right now and point to those relationships around here, then you don't know what it's like. You may be in the building, but you're not a part of it. And I pray, here's how I land the plane. I pray that you don't walk out of here until you get connected. The first step is if you haven't been baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and stepped into that thing, I hope you don't walk out of here until you do. But then, even though you're now in the building, I hope you connect to it through relationship. And so if you felt isolated, if you felt lonely, if you felt like you're having to hold your own pain inside, by the way, there's no more miserable thing than going through something miserable alone. And so if you're